It's the very first day of Winsville and their preview service, and so we're excited about that. As we get started here, let me just thank you for all of your prayers, thoughts, concerns, emails, texts, Facebook messages, with the concern prayers for my dad this week. He is still going. He's a tough dude. And so he's been in the hospital most of this week, but he was at home on Friday. He's resting comfortably. And so on behalf of my family and I, we thank you. Thank you for your prayers. We're just kind of day to day. I talked to him and he said, I'm just trying to enjoy every day that I have. And whatever the Lord brings, that will be just fine. And so I was planning to go down there and he's like, no thanks. And so he said, no, I just want you to have time. So if something does happen, that you'll have plenty of time with your mom and help her move. And I'm glad about that. And so that's what I'm trying to be, an obedient son and do what dad wants. And so thank you. I sincerely appreciate that. So open your Bibles to the book of John. You thought I was going to say Genesis, didn't you? John 15, and for the next few weeks, we are going to kind of take a break from our series in Genesis, and we are going to get back to it, but for a few weeks, we are going to be in this one chapter of John chapter 15. And you say, well, why is that? The reason I want to focus on this chapter, and so you might make this maybe a daily reading or at least a weekly reading so that you can kind of get your mind around, familiarize yourself with John 15, because I want to talk about how does God grow his church? It is important that all of us understand this. If you're part of the church, it's really important you understand how God grows his church. Now, you don't have to read the Bible very far, and you realize that God is a creator. And if you read a little farther, what he loves to do in his creation, he loves to grow and expand and maximize and multiply what he creates. Matter of fact, one of the very first commandments to Adam and Eve was what? Fulfill, right? Go be filled, fill the earth, go and multiply, fulfill it. This is what I command you to do. Fill the earth, multiply. And so God creates the world. He says, I want as many people as to be born. I want to fill the world. Now, compare that to the last command of Jesus. The first command is, be fruitful and multiply. The last command of Jesus to his disciples is what? Go into the world and make disciples of all the nations. So the first command is, God says, I want the world to be full of people who are born. And Jesus now says, go, and I want as many people in the world as born. I want them to be born again. And so God filled the world so that he could fill heaven. He fills the world. He multiplies people in birth, and then he multiplies and fills heaven with rebirth. And so God loves to expand. He loves to multiply that which he creates. And so one of the things with the church is he loves to grow his church. He is all the time, constantly trying and working to grow his church and produce fruit. He wants fruitfulness. I have been in ministry over 30 years now, three churches, and I have been blessed that all three churches have been in a growing phase. The first church was in Garden City, Missouri, just a little blip in the road south of Harrisonville, town of 900 people. When I went there, it was 40, and then 5 years later, it was 420. I mean, 10 times, and we just saw fruit, and we saw the growth of God, and people saved and baptized, and people in leadership. We even had to relocate all the way across town, which was like two blocks, you know, just all way over there. Incredible, unbelievable. And then in Warrensburg, went from 300 to over 2,000 people, and same thing, salvation, baptisms, and leaders, and full-time people leaving their jobs and going into full-time ministry. It's just an incredible thing. Same thing has happened here, gone from about 900 to over 2,000, and so much so that what we have in these two services really isn't enough to accommodate more growth. And so that's why we're going next week, or next month, month in August, we are going to go to three services. So we can accommodate more of the growth, not for people who are already here, but for the people that God wants to bring here. And so, and the same is true. We have seen growth in salvation, in baptisms, leadership. We have people quitting their full-time jobs to go into full-time ministry. And so it's not just numerical growth, but it is spiritual growth. And here's the thing I want you to get, and I want you to understand, because it really connects with the whole series, and especially today. In 30 years, I really believe that this is what the Lord has taught me about how he grows the church. God grows his church from the inside out, not from the outside in. In fact, God grows the local church just like he grows every individual Christian. He doesn't say, what I want you to do in order to belong to me, in order to be in my family, in order for me to connect, what I want you to do is a whole bunch of stuff that everybody can see how great you are, and then you'll belong to me. He doesn't do that. What he does is he starts inside of you that nobody can see and nobody's aware of except you and him, and he begins to work in you, remind you of who he is, remind you of who you are, remind he is the Savior and you're the sinner, and Savior's come to save sinners, and he has come to save you, and he begins to work on the inside of you. And he continues to grow. And what he does is, as he grows in you, it becomes evident because he can't hold it in. Spiritual growth always becomes evident because it outgrows you. And sometimes people want to spiritually grow, but they don't want to show it on the outside. Listen, if you grow and you continue to grow, God always shows spiritual growth in you because it grows past you. And it's spiritual fruit. And so one of the things we're doing is adding a service next month in October. We are sending 100 to 150 people from our church and expanding and starting a new campus in Wentzville. And as I said, new service, preview service, first of three today. You need to know that we are sending 100 and 150 of our very best. I mean, our best leaders, our best deacons, our best servants, our best prayer warriors, some of the very best. And I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled. I've been praying over it, praying for Matt today and the whole team. But I'm thrilled. But you know what that means? That means right here, 100 and 150 gaps. And I believe that God is growing many of you to step up, grow up, and be able to really produce fruit for the glory of God. And so John 15 really begins to help us understand how God grows Christians and how God grows local churches. Now, the setting, you probably already know this, but let me just remind you, the setting of John 15 is that Jesus is one day away from the cross. He is one day from laying down his life, being nailed to a cross, bleeding, and giving his life to cover our sins. One day, the very next day. This is the last few moments that he has alone with his disciples. And now he has left the upper room where they went from Passover to the Lord's Supper, where they experienced the betrayal of Judas. He is revealed as the betrayer. And now 11 of them come out and they're walking. And they're on their way to Gethsemane, and Jesus wants to help the heart of these disciples. You realize they know he's going to the cross. They know what the Romans want to do. They know what the Jews are conspiring to do, and their hearts are heavy. They also know just what happened. Judas, their brother of 3 years, they can't believe it. So their mind is all over the place, and Jesus wants them to know, I know what's going on inside of you. I know that you are confused, you're dazed, you're out of your mind with things going on. But what I want you to know is God has placed you in a position that you are going to grow, and you are going to produce fruit. And God is going to produce that fruit through you. I'm going to go, I'm going to send the helper, and you're going to see things happen in your life that you never dreamed possible. So that's the setting here. And then he says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not, that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now we're going to be in this passage, this really the whole chapter, and so we're going to get down into the nitty gritty of a number of things today, or this in this series. But today I want to give really more of an overview. Really, when you break this passage down, as I've been looking at it, you can see what God wants. You can see how God does it and how he goes about it. And then he shows us what our job is, how we are connected, what the partnership is, what does he expect of us, and then what can we expect from the world. And so today really is an overview. What does God want? If I were to ask you, what does God want from you as a Christian? You know what you could say, and maybe what you should say? What God wants from me is to abide in him and be fruitful. God's purpose for you is to be fruitful. He wants to grow you and continue to grow you. When does that stop? When you're dead. You realize some of you have been a Christian maybe for 50 years, and you can't really remember the last time you've spiritually grown. You realize you don't outgrow fruitfulness. In fact, when you get to the vine, you realize that some of the older vines, while they don't produce the quantity of fruit, you know what they do produce? The oldest vines produce the quality. Some of you might be saying, oh, I just can't do what I used to do. Listen, that's not the expectation. I can't do a lot of things that I could do 25 years ago. Nobody expects me to. But I should be able to do a lot of things a lot better than I did 25 years ago. And some of you have been around a long time and you've kind of given up. You've retired from ministry. You've retired from growth. You've retired from fruitfulness. And I'm telling you, God's not done with you yet. And so what in this kind of overview of spiritual growth and fruitfulness, there are three things I want to point out. And I'm practicing on getting done on time because August is coming. So when it comes to spiritual growth and fruitfulness, so number one, what we see, God desires it. God desires it. Jesus says it like this: I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That word vine dresser can be husbandman, it can be farmer. And the idea is this: it is not an option for a vineyard to have a vine dresser. It's not an option. Vineyards that are going to be fruitful must have a skillful, knowledgeable vine dresser, or else they will grow wild. And wild vineyards, they're all over the place. Matter of fact, they tend to grow low to the ground and they produce little to no fruit. And even the fruit they do is sour and unusable. And so that it requires, a vineyard requires a vine dresser that knows what he's doing. And so he says, my Father is the vine dresser of the whole vineyard. He is the one who orchestrates. He's the one who owns everything. He's the one who oversees everything. He is the one that makes sure that the vine and the branches are in a position to grow and produce fruit. Now, I don't know if you know this. I've been reading up a lot on this, is not my normal reading, but a lot on vine and vine dresser. And I didn't know this, but a vineyard and really plants, vine plants and all the branches, it is one of the most finicky, high maintenance plants in all of the world. It is a super challenge to really grow a great vineyard that produces good quality and quantity of grapes. It's challenging to do. In fact, you have to start out. I learned the process. You have to start out with the stock, with the vine. And the vine is that trunk that goes down. And usually it's anywhere from a waist to chest high. And they have to allow time for that vine then to get its root structure in the ground. And so have to wait. And then when it has a root structure, what they have to do is they would put dozens and dozens of branches. They graft them into the vine. And then they wait. And so they allow those branches to begin to grow. And then they cut and they prune. They don't allow any of the branches to grow any fruit for 3 years. They just prune it. They fertilize it, copper and sulfate and all the kind of stuff, phosphate that they put on it. And then they cut it and they weed it and they spray it and they weed it and they spray it. And then when it gets long enough, they have to lift it up because it wants to grow low, just like Christians. You leave a Christian all by himself, he will live life low. He will never lift himself up. And so what happens when it gets long enough, they have to raise up those branches and they have to tie it to the trellis. And so as it grows, they have to untie it and then they tie it and they untie it and they tie it and then they prune it and then they weed it and they spray it and they fertilize it and then they untie it and they tie it and then they cut it and they prune it and they weed it. And what I found out is that being a vine dresser is a 365 day a year. A vineyard never lets a vine dresser rest. Never. It is a constant, constant battle. Because if it is left alone, and if it's left to grow any way it wants, it will always grow wild and the fruit's no good. And so the vine dresser has to stay on top of everything that's happening every single day. Jesus says that the Father is the vine dresser of his vineyard. His people are the vineyard. 217 times we are told that we are the vineyard of God and that God is the loving, wonderful, skillful vine dresser of his vineyard. Let me ask you, why would someone go through all of the trouble, spend 3 years, no fruit whatsoever, and cut and prune and weed and fertilize 365 days and have nothing to show for it for 3 years and not know what's going to do every... Why would somebody do that? One reason for what? That one day that vineyard will produce fruit, and not just some fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. That's the point. Listen, if God's vineyard, let me just say you as a branch in the vineyard of God, if you don't produce fruit, do you think God just says, well, we tried, gave it our best shot? No. What is the expectation? Why would God invest so much and give so much and work every single day to put you in a position, to put you in the light, to put you in the space, to protect you from predators? Why would he do all of that and then just back off and say, well, if you don't want to grow and you don't want to be fruitful, that's okay. God's not going to do that. It's not optional. At all. Matter of fact, when you look at this, you see something, at least to me, it's very, very interesting. There are levels of fruitfulness. There's levels of growth here. It goes from no fruit to bearing fruit, to bearing more fruit, to bearing much fruit. Every single one of us, if you call Christ your Savior, if you are a Christian following him and you are grafted into the vine, you are on one of these four levels. Some of you are brand new Christians, and that's wonderful. And there's not an expectation to grow fruit. You are in the growth mode. Have you ever been around a Christian, a new Christian, and they're just excited about everything? And they don't really know anything. I've been in church and I've prayed with a new Christian lots of times, and they're using the F-bomb, and they're just, and they don't even know that that's probably not appropriate. You're around new Christians. They're excited about everything. They get involved in everything, and they seem to just be wild, and they do some of the stuff they shouldn't do, and they have to be tempered down, tamed down. But what happens is, over time, as they grow, they begin to catch on. They get pruned, they get pruned, they get pruned, and they begin to realize how they fit in. It's not just crazy wonderful about everything. It is, I know what God is calling me to do. And that's what happens. And they go from no fruit to bearing fruit. And they're supposed to go from bearing fruit to bearing more fruit. And they're supposed to go from bearing more fruit to bearing much fruit. Listen, every single one of us who's a Christian grafted into the vine of Christ, you are on one of those four levels. Unfortunately, some of us have been Christians a long time and we're still in level one. We think we're doing God a favor by showing up on Sunday. The only expectation God has is come to church. No. Listen, do you realize you don't have to come to church? You get to come to church. That's what my dad used to always say. He's probably laughing right now hearing me say that. We have to go to church again today. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and 2-week revivals and all the other stuff, right? We have to. No, you don't have to. You get to go to church. And now I understand. But some of you have not grown to the point where you understand you're not a brand new Christian anymore. And the expectation is fruitfulness, spiritual growth. Which level do you think that you're on? Where do you see yourself? Now, here's the point. Why should we be so adamant of ourselves that we are bearing fruit? Because of what it does. Jesus says, this is how my Father is glorified. This is how we bring glory to God. How? By bearing much fruit. Do you want to honor God and bless God and magnify God? It's not just by coming to church and singing loud. It is by living in such a way, serving in such a way that His life flows through you and He bears fruit that looks like Jesus. And your life looks so much like Jesus that it brings glory to the Father. And it should be in you that you want to produce as much fruit as you possibly can. You want to bear it for the glory of God. Why should you want to grow? For the glory of God. That you are grateful for who He is, that He came for you, that He sent His Son for you, that He would forgive a sinner like you, that He would put His Spirit in you, that He would have a place forever for you. And you know what He asks? Connect yourself to me. Let me work through you and bear fruit for my glory. So the very first thing that we see here, spiritual growth and fruitfulness, is desired by God. It's not like, we'll do the best we can. No, it's not optional. Here's the second thing we see. Not only is spiritual growth and fruitfulness desired by God, it is empowered by Jesus. He says, I am the vine. So where does it start? Where's the whole vineyard start? It starts with the stock. It starts with the vine. Those long things. Sometimes people think that those long branches are the vine. That's not the vine. The vine is the trunk. It is the source of life. Those long things on the trellises, those are the branches, and that represents us. But Jesus says the life of the vineyard, the life of the people that energizes and empowers fruitfulness and spiritual growth, Jesus says, it is me. Abide in me and I am you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the key. Jesus says the key to production, even the key to great production, is a powerful connection. The key to great production is a powerful connection. The very first place we start, the most important aspect of spiritual growth and fruitfulness is being connected to Jesus. The branch must be in Christ. It must be in the vine. Do you know what you call a branch not connected to the vine? A stick. If I had a stick, believe me, I got hundreds of them at the house. If I came up here and had a stick and threw it down and said, what are the chances of that stick producing anything or growing longer or getting some greenery on it or producing fruit? What would be the chances? None. As long as it's disconnected from life, it has no chance. That's what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't say you have a chance to produce some fruit for God or a little bit of fruit from God, even though you're not connected to the vine. He says you have no chance. Why? Because you're not a branch. You're just a stick. Jesus came to turn sticks into branches. You realize all of us are born dead sticks. That's what we are. We have no hope all by ourselves of glorifying God, of producing any kind of anything for eternity. We have no hope because we have no life in us. We're born dead sticks. We are born enemies of God. All of us are born on a road headed to hell. No hope. And then Jesus shows up and says, hey, you want to be a branch? You know why you know what we're celebrating today? Sometimes I just get the feeling, some of you are just sad to be here. If you're not sad, notify your face. Just real quick, just a thought, you know. Shouldn't there be, I mean, this whole thing's about joy. And you're like, I'm joyful. Don't tell me how to show my joy. Shouldn't there just be something different about dead sticks that gather together who are now living branches that have the very life of God flowing through them, undeserved, unmerited, now have hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. We don't get all twisted up about the government. Why? Because we have a God who's over the government. We don't get all twisted up about every financial setback. Why? Because that's temporary. One day you'll be walking streets of gold. One day you'll be in the presence of God. One day you will inherit and be a co-heir with Christ. That's plenty to be joyful about, right? I don't know. I'm not a green thumb, so I didn't know a whole lot about this. But do you know what they call the process of a vine dresser who it just takes meticulous skill? You know what the term is in the grafting? They take these sticks that are basically 10 to 12 inches long, and they graft them into the vine. Do you know what this process is called? It's really interesting. It's called bleeding. So what the vine dresser does is takes the vine that is full of life and nutrients, it has the root system down in, and they cut, whether or not it cut into the vine. In a sense, they make it bleed. And then they take these short sticks that have no life in them. You know what they do with the sticks? They clean them. They strip them. They knock off all the knobs and all the leaves and all of the stuff that is dead on it. Strip back everything off of it and make it clean. Jesus says to his disciples, you are clean. You are clean by the word that I've spoken to you. And being grafted, you are clean. That's salvation. When you come to Christ and you repent of sin and place your faith in the one who's died in your place for your sin, rose from the dead to put life in you, he cleans you. You are forgiven of your past, your present, and your future sin. You're clean. And what does he do? He puts you in. He grafts you in, this clean vine, into the bleeding vine. And as that bleeding vine flows, and that life and that blood flows through that dead stick, it comes to life, and it begins to grow, and eventually it produces fruit. See, that's what Romans 11, Paul is saying. We were grafted into the body. We were grafted in to the family of God. Gentiles grafted in to the family of God. He cleaned us, stripped us of all of our past and of all of our nonsense and all of our wickedness. So now, as a clean stick, we can be in Christ, and we can be a branch. Let me ask you today, are you a stick? Are you a branch? Stick has no hope because it doesn't have the life of Christ flowing through it. But a branch, it has Jesus empowering the ability to grow spiritually and to produce fruit. Does that make sense to you? So how do we glorify God? We glorify God, and we glorify Christ, and we thank the vine and the vine dresser by bearing fruit, by succumbing to whatever position he puts us in, whatever light he puts us in, whatever he weeds, whatever he prunes. We thank you, thank you, thank you, because I know you have what's best for me. Here's the third thing that we see. When it comes to spiritual growth and fruitfulness, not only does God desire it and Jesus empower it, we see Christians reveal it. We don't produce the fruit. It is produced through us. What we do is we reveal fruit. It is life in us coming out. You never walk by a grape branch and it's going, working hard, just producing fruit. No, it doesn't at all. It reveals, because the life that is inside of it is pushing through it. It pushes the fruit out. The vine can't help it. The vine can't even stop it. Listen, if you're in Christ and you are connected to him, and we're going to talk about what that means, abide, because there is some responsibility. He commands it, stay connected, remain in me. If it was automatic, he wouldn't have to command us. But there's something to this abiding that's partially our responsibility. See, some of us are connected to the vine, but we've messed with the connection, and his life isn't really flowing through us like it once did. And so we're hindering the growth because we're hindering the life, and it's not revealing the fruit that God wants to produce. But Christians reveal it. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers. Branches are gathered. Those branches that are fruitless, they are thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will be done for you. This is how my Father is glorified, and this is how you prove to be my disciples. Now, I think it's important to understand why this is important. Why does Jesus say this? The fruitless branches, and he's really talking about two branches, fruitless and fruitful. The fruitless are burned, and the fruitful are pruned. There's both a cutting. They're the expert cutting. One is cut back so that it grow more, and then the other is cut off. And the important part is this, really Jesus is talking about two branches, a Jesus branch and a Judas branch. See, he's thinking about what they're thinking about, and they're like, what happened to Judas? What happened? Listen, you have to understand, he was not in me. I wasn't in him. He was a fruitless branch that had to be cut off. But if you're in me, you'll be cut back. But it's only so that you can produce more fruit. Now, My time is done, but let me just give you, you might be sitting there, and I've held this to the last because I wanted to. no other reason. Why did you put that at the first? I would have, but I didn't want to. So fruitfulness of God. You might be thinking, man, what is fruit? What does that look like? Well, I'm just going to give you the list, and I get verses there for you so that you can go home and think about this. The Bible makes very clear that it's character. It starts on the inside and works out. It's what we are. The Spirit is going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It is what you are on the inside. He's going to grow that. It's your conversation. It's what you say. It's your conduct. It's what you do. It's contributions, money in hand, what you give. The Bible makes very clear it's converts. It's who you win. Look at that. This is the fruitfulness that God is going for, that he wants to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. What you are, what you say, what you do, what you give, and who you win. Listen to me. Jesus is not asking you to do these things, and then you'll belong to him. Jesus is saying, if you belong to me, I'll be producing these through you. This fruit will happen. If you're somebody who's saying, I just could never do that. No, you can't. You're a stick that's turned to a branch, but Jesus says, I'm going to do it through you. Are you producing fruit? I was thinking how to kind of connect and wrap this whole thing up, and I was thinking about the father and son duo, the Hoyts. Dick and Ricky Hoyt, remember them? And they ran thousands of races together and entered marathons and triathlons together as father and son. The only problem was that Ricky was born with cerebral palsy. He couldn't move at all. And so what the father did in the Iron Man, you know, that's a big deal. It's swimming, biking, and running. Dick would take his son, Ricky, and he would put him in a boat, and he would swim 2 miles, pulling that boat with his boy. And then he would take him out of that boat, and then he would strap him into the front of his bike and ride over 100 miles. And after 100 miles, he would take him out of that seat and put him in a wheelchair, something like a wheelchair, and he would run for 26 miles. Do you know what Ricky's role was in the whole thing? Just to buy. Just to stick with Dad. Just to stay connected. It was the strength of the Father working on behalf of the Son. Who got to share in the reward? Father and Son. That's what Jesus does for us. He's not telling us to do it. He says, let me do it through you. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. And you'll be fruitful. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, would you do that today? Would you call out and say, Jesus, I want to be cleaned. I want to be forgiven. I'm giving and surrendering and trusting in you. I need you to rescue me and save me. Some of you are not all that connected, though you're a Christian. You've messed with the connection, and his life is not flowing through you like it once did. And he is saying, come back, abide in me, remain in me. Are you fruitful? It's not optional. Father, I pray that today, by your grace and your mercy, you would do a work in us. We don't deserve. We are just sticks grafted into a wonderful, life-giving vine and turned into a branch. Oh, what a gift. Lord, may we treasure it today as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just stand with us and sing.